This is the 2-minute drill.
And now the end is near, so we face the final curtain. We got closing on football for, we ain't gonna come back and talk about the draft. We got closes now for about 5, 6, 7, 8 months.
Yeah, man.
So unfortunate. It's so sad. I'm gonna miss it. But we're here to say the last rites to the 2021 NFL season. This is 2-minute drill. Pierce and Scott here to recap the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 56. The Los Angeles Rams bringing back an actual trophy to the city of LA. I mean, can you actually say they're bringing back a trophy to LA? They're just keeping it here.
They're just keeping it here. But this is, I find it hilarious that this is the first legitimate championship that LA has won in a long time. Yes, I'm discrediting the Rams and the Dodgers here.
No, it's 100%.
They were the first ones to have a parade. That's just hilarious to me.
So my dad's a diehard Dodger and Laker fan, and he never fully legitimized the titles, and like rightfully so.
Oh, he didn't even? Okay, cool.
Nah, one of my coworkers is a Los Angelino, and he feels the very same way. You didn't win those in Los Angeles, or you know, have an opportunity to play in LA. They were pandemic titles. People have won now since you've been able to win.
With
hoes in the building. I mean, there were hoes in the bubble.
Who? The people that work for the NBA?
No, they had the wives and the girlfriends there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's no actual fish in the sea. Okay, I get it, right? I understand.
We saw in last year's NBA playoffs, the game is a lot different when you had distractions around the court.
Can I say this? Can I? Because I just got through recording Ruthless Aggression. That will be up around the same time as this. It's All-Star Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I feel so fucking bad.
Why?
For the NBA All-Stars and NBA players. Because 3 years in a row, you guys are going to have nothing. Nothing exciting to will you up and make you want to go to All-Star Weekend. Even if you participate in a skills tournament. Even the rookies that got to do the rookie challenge. You ready to go to Salt Lake next year?
Yeah.
I done heard about, you know, the heathens in Salt Lake. It's still Black History Month.
Still Black History Month. Still we Black got, what, 12 month. More days?
Yeah, something like
before
that.
Before I can have my open Sydney Sweeney thirst again.
Yeah, I've heard about them, but like, what else is it gonna be? Am I gonna go praise with the Mormons? Nah, man. Like, I feel so bad for them players. Like, do better, NBA. Do better. Like the NFL. Like, okay, Major League Baseball gets it. The NFL starting to get it now that we're leaving Hawaii. They did Vegas, and they'll probably do some other spots. Stop putting folks in bumblefuck nowhere in the middle of winter.
I'm gonna go even further. I believe if you're in a non-tropical climate, you shouldn't have the Super Bowl or the All-Star game. Now, I said last year players didn't get to enjoy Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? At least to our knowledge.
And obviously, you know, we're crossing ourselves off, and we remember what All-Star Weekend was like in Chicago. It was an oasis.
I had a blast.
It was an oasis in a tundra.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Really, outside, Friday was the only cold day. Like, Saturday and Sunday was decent.
Saturday night was cold as shit.
Okay, it was a Saturday that was cold as shit? Yeah,
I was standing outside of some club. It was cold as shit.
Okay, well, Friday and Saturday. I remember Friday was the night of the Rising Stars game that I went to, and I was freezing my balls off that night. So, yeah, I mean, but see, Chicago, I feel like Chicago, New York, there's three cities that like cold.
You get a pass.
Chicago, New York, even Toronto. There's still things going on in the city. And you know, even with James Harden tweeted in the middle of the night, Chicago cracking or some shit, whatever. That's how you know niggas was having a good time.
Hell yeah.
Fucking Cleveland, nigga. And look, I love Ohio women. Ohio got some fine ass women.
We've said this time and time again, Ohio has hoes.
I think the best women I've seen in the Midwest reside in the state of Ohio. But with that being said, there's nothing to do in Cleveland.
Nothing.
And they got a snowstorm this week.
You want to take? Oh, God, hell no! Yeah. You want to take the drive down Columbus? Cool, I get you. I understand it. Philly, I think. Well, first off, Philly's overdue for an All-Star game. It's been 20 years.
One. Wow, yes, it's COVID.
It's been 20 years since Philly's had an All-Star game. So the city's overdue for one. you know, basketball star of city. So you might as well do one here. But I do have a problem with a lot of fucking shit closing a little bit too early for me. Not bars. Like, I think we finally passed at the pandemic point where like bars open this late. You know, all I'm asking is that you keep D'Alessandro's open past 10 o'clock. That's all. I feel like that's not a big, especially how far
a bar or
D'Alessandro's is a cheesesteak spot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the best cheesesteak spot.
So, in your opinion, I'm about to ask you who has the best cheesesteak spot?
It's D'Alessandro's, no question. But you got to go all the way out. You got to go all the way out north into the city.
Okay.
To go there, and it's a hassle because there's not another location that's a little bit closer in the center city if you live in the center city. So yeah, try to leave that a little bit open past 10 o'clock if you're gonna have an all-star game here. I would love if, because that would be like a perfect spot where like Maxwell's and Jim's.
Yeah,
how that used to be open 24/7.
Yeah, and then they stopped it, which is
RIP, complete bullshit. But now, even that's still open till 2.
Yeah.
Perfect. Fine. Good drunk food at 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock. I'll take it.
Many nights I was over there drinking, eating shit that I shouldn't be eating at 3:30 in the morning. Because I was so fucking drunk.
Maxwell's.
That's the only thing I miss about being 20 in my 20s. Having a high alcohol tolerance, be able to eat what I want without consequences. That's probably the only thing I miss.
Were you a White Palace Grill dude, or do you know better?
I only went to White Palace one time. That's because I was following this chick. So it really wasn't because I wanted to. It's because she wanted to go. So no, besides that, I was Maxwell's. Or sometimes we would go hit up, that's not the appropriate term for it anymore. The area over there where a lot of Jewish people would be at. We go over there and fuck them gyros up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know, fuck them gyros up over there. So it'd be a mix of the two.
You see, okay, I feel like, and I'm only saying this because there's actually Gaberhood in Philly. I was shocked to know that they actually call it Gaberhood. It's the actual name of the
That's the actual name of it?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was like, is that not politically incorrect? And they're like, oh, it's just how it is. So we got to like figure out if Boys Town is actually Boys Town. And if it is Boys Town, we just got to be open about it. It's Boys Town.
Right.
It's okay. It's okay. The boys have taken over the town. It's okay.
Which is fine. You know, Boys Town out here is West Hollywood. You know, everybody knows that.
Exactly. Everybody just is what it is, man. But we're here to talk about the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 56, yeah. A grand Super Bowl. It was more of a defensive struggle than a lot of people felt like it was going to be.
Yeah,
which I loved about it because those two defenses, you know, granted the Rams had a better defense, but I really did think at certain points
Bengals
front four was tenacious all postseason, and at times they were looking like the better of the two, but in the end, Cincinnati wasn't able to make plays, and I got a bone to pick with your head coach in a hot second. And the guy who was able to make plays, that's a very good point.
Are you talking about Zach Taylor?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, no, it's a very good point.
I was like, ooh.
It was dumb versus dumber. Oh my God. Somebody had to win.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, Matthew Stafford has, when it comes to finishing final drives, been there, done that before. And the only receiver he's got is Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
So what is he going to do? He's going to find Cooper Kupp. And here we are sitting about the two-time Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams.
Yes, for those of you kids at home who don't know, the Los Angeles Rams were formerly the St. Louis Rams and won the Super Bowl in 1999. And for those of you who are really part of the grind, like in these trenches, you remember Halftime Heat. You remember the
NBA? That was the year before.
The year before. Oh, that was 99, though, wasn't it?
The Rams won in the 99 season, but that was 2000. Halftime Heat was Broncos Falcons, and that's why it was so popular.
Okay, I mean the Rockin' in Mankind. That was 99 season though, right?
No, that was the 98 season. That was Broncos Falcons.
So that was Broncos Falcons was the Rock in Mankind?
Yes.
So which one was 99?
I don't think they had a Halftime Heat for the Rams Titans Super Bowl. There may have been something.
I feel like it was
a celebrity death match.
Or it was some type of match. Yeah.
I think they did have a Sunday Night Heat. Because I want to say they had a Sunday Night Heat, but I don't know if it was like anything big. But I think it was like a pre-taped Sunday Night Heat. But no, the empty arena brawl with Rocky Mankind you're thinking of, That's Broncos and Falcons. Okay. And the reason that was so popular and so big and drew a big rating is because the Super Bowl was such shit.
Because the Falcons
decided that they wanted to go out the night before, and then the NFL Man of the Year decided he wanted to go pick up a slut.
Who was the NFL Man of the Year that year?
Blanking on his fucking name, but fuck, what was this goddamn?
I feel like we got robbed of a better Super Bowl with Vikings Broncos. I'll never really get over that.
I will always.
And it's definitely fucked the Vikings, but from a entertainment standpoint, that'd have been a much better game.
I will always take Randy Moss in the Super Bowl. That's one of the big things that makes me sick about his career is that he did not win in that undefeated season.
Yeah, man, I wanted them to win 07 for him, man. If you watch the man in the arena, man, you can see Brady basically was like, I trade other rings just to get 07.
Mm-hmm. Eugene Robinson was
Robinson,
the Falcons man of the year, who decided to solicit a prostitute the night before the Super Bowl and then got cooked by Rod Smith up the middle. Yeah, man. Like Cooper Kupp was the only dude that that Stafford had to throw to, and I'm a little bit pissed off that he won MVP over Aaron Donald. Because who the fuck else is he gonna throw to?
I mean,
he was throwing to some niggas that I could have swore was on the 2016 Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a problem with Coop winning that one. They kind of give it to the offensive guy before Aaron Donald. I mean, for defensive, I'm just happy that Matthew Stafford didn't win it. So, like, part of my Stafford agenda is still alive because honestly,
those two picks. Appreciate
thank you, those two. That was a quintessential Matthew Stafford game.
100%.
You know, it was a lot of lows, a lot of highs. You know, he played really well for a stretch, played really bad for a stretch. I mean, shit.
Adversity.
If in the three stops, I think they stopped the Rams offense like three times in that second half. If they had scored at least one touchdown in them drives that Cincinnati had, I feel like they'd have won that game. Like they had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to put that shit
away.
They did not capitalize.
And that's what's going to end up being, you know, kind of like the story of the postseason. The team's not capitalizing on the Rams when they have the opportunity to capitalize on the Rams.
That's a good point.
Bucks weren't able to. They had to make the comeback instead of just, you know, having a good start to the game. That Jaquiski Tartt pick.
That he dropped. Oh, my God.
He's right in
his fucking hand.
He
bro.
Catches that interception. That's ball
over.
Game.
It's over.
It's a 10-point game. That's ball game.
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd. Hadn't had a single drop catch all season. Third down, it's right there. He's right at the line, and he drops it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to really get on him too much, even though he's got to catch that. But for me, you can say the Rams won it, and of course, final drive, went down the field. Stafford
longest
made plays
drive
he
in
made.
Super Bowl history, by the
Stafford
way.
Picked apart Eli Apple. Cooked. Granted, that was not a hold on Luke Wilson.
It wasn't, but
and
that,
if I'm a Bengal fan, I'm going to be eaten apart about that.
How mad can you be though when you got away with that T. Higgins shit?
Very.
That was a clear face mask. It's clear face mask.
But you can still be mad because it's the end of the game.
I mean, yeah, you can be mad. You're a fan. You can be mad at whatever. I'm just saying, one missed call for another.
When it's that far spaced apart, I think there's so much that could happen in the football game to where like. You can't hinge one instance on the other. The T. Higgins play happens or not, you could still be down to a 23-20 game. They could still drive down the field. And also, Stafford went in through the interception coming out with the ball in the next drive, which led to the next points for Cincinnati and then really could have put him in the hole. So I don't think one kind of led to the other. If I'm a Bengals fan, I am a little bit upset at that. But at the same time, there's no telling that in fourth down you're gonna be able to stop Cooper Kupp from completely cooking Eli Apple, who was getting cooked all postseason, but still ran his goddamn mouth like he wasn't getting cooked all postseason.
Yeah, Eli Apple, man, I never seen active players all jump.
Someone, please call 911.
You know, niggas on the Chiefs are showing their Super Bowl rings. Don't worry about champ, you'll get one of these one day. And it's like. He's like, Eli Apple had all that coming to him, man. Like you said, like, they weren't able to stop.
Somebody did a joke about his mama. Like,
oh, yeah, nigga, it was no holds barred. It was like, you couldn't stop Kupp the whole goddamn drive. So it was like, you probably weren't going to stop on fourth down either. I mean, if you want to be real, Cooper Kupp scored two touchdowns on that drive. Remember, the one got called back on the holding. mm-hmm. from the Rams. Like, so it's like they had no answer for
that. Oh, you're talking about the one that he caught CTE on.
Yeah, the one he got his head cleaned. Kupp is just one of them. Kupp is one of the receivers who I gained a lot more respect for this year. Of course, you know, he's a white receiver.
So he's definitely in my top three.
Yeah, for sure. For sure he's in the top three. You already know who I stand on, who's still number one. But Kupp is awesome. Kupp is more – you can't just look at Kupp as like a slot guy. This dude is like a wide receiver. He can beat you any either type of way. And that's why I have to give Stafford credit for. I mean, Stafford had his second, you know, second string tight end, and then Odell was cooking before he got hurt. Really, yeah, all he had was so Kupp.
Unfortunate.
That's all he had was Kupp. You know, Robert Woods was already injured. He had nobody but Kupp, and they had no answer for him. So they kept fucking feeding him. And it's like, so with Stafford, it didn't really change my personal opinion on Matthew Stafford. He's still the same guy that I thought he was, but you can't say what he can't do anymore. So I feel like that monkey is off his back. And that's the right. most I'm willing to give
him. And he still made the interceptions. He still made the costly plays when it was expected of him to make costly plays.
Yeah.
But he also showed up in the moments where it actually mattered. So like do I think he sheds the stat pad for nickname? Hell no.
Yeah.
You still think
you got that?
Nah, I think he's gonna hold on to that. Listen, we can't talk about we can't strip him from stat Padford.
Yeah. Right.
And then talk about Drew Brees
You are correct, sir.
You're still that in a regular season, but you've proven now that you've been given an actual opportunity to get past the first round. Right. You've proven that you can win playoff games.
And so, more importantly, you proved Les Snead made the right decision by saying, fuck them picks.
Absolutely. Him, Vaughn, Jalen.
Yep.
He made the right choice in all of that.
Jalen got cooked on Sunday, by the way.
He absolutely got cooked. That last play is so wild because
boy, they so lucky
Burrow just have a sliver left of time.
And Chase is gone. That's Crib University. He's done.
It's so insane how Jalen got cooked. And I say it, like either Jalen's gonna show up and have a pretty good game, or he's gonna get cooked. It's gonna be no in between. And yeah, he got fried. Of course, a good chunk of that was on the face mask, but it doesn't excuse it. With Matthew Stafford, though, where does this change his trajectory in terms of the Hall of Fame? Because I think obviously him getting the ring matters so much.
Helps a lot.
We still, you know, the only thing you really have to hinge on, and this is where like I agree with Richard Sherman. The only thing you have to, you know, hinge on are the statistics. Yeah. And most of those statistics are without context.
Right. I mean, this is what I would feel about it. If his career ended today, no, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I think this opens the door for him to potentially be a Hall of Famer because of the numbers that he's put up and, you know, him winning a championship. Not just him winning a championship, him being good this whole fucking playoff
round. He's on now.
You know, it's the team he's on. And he plays in a bigger market now. He plays in Los Angeles.
That was his first division title.
first division title.
Of course. He never won a division title in Detroit.
You know, let's just say he wins another championship or he somehow finds a way to get an MVP or some shit like that. Then, yeah, that would open the door for him. Even then, I don't think he's first. I don't even think he's top three ballot. I think he'll eventually get in if that's the case. But as of right now, no. I mean, if you look at the stats, he's going to be in what top, whatever, passing-wise, whatever, when he's all said and done. But it also depends on how the NFL kind of votes things, because there's certain people who are going to get in the Hall of Fame who I don't think should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to stay in this sandbox forever. I don't believe Eli Manning is a fucking Hall of Famer. I don't give a fuck what New Yorkers tell me. But he's going to get in there because he beat Tom Brady twice. He won the Super Bowl MVP in both games, and his last name is Manning. So he's going to get in there off base of that.
Right.
But Stafford, and also like you, when you're talking about context, when you talk about what Richard Sherman was talking about, yeah, he was playing in Detroit. They didn't have much playoff success in Detroit. They made a couple playoff games this time, didn't win one. But also at the same time, just because you play in Detroit don't mean you can't get an All-Pro, or don't mean you can't have certain records that you will be a Pro Bowler. You can be a Pro Bowler on a sorry-ass team. I mean, Calvin Johnson was becoming a Pro Bowler and all these other things on the same sorry-ass team. So you can still do that. Now, so I think that kind of context is brought into it. But when you talk about his stats also, people are like, well, if you look at – he's top 10 in this. Okay, let's put some context in that. In today's NFL, niggas throw the ball more. Like, if you look at his yards and touchdowns are way higher than Troy Aikman. He's not a better quarterback than Troy Aikman to me.
Nah.
So that's like, to me, we have to put that in context too.
I would say he's more efficient, but then again.
But he's also a gunslinger. Troy's like, not gonna make the mistakes that Matt makes.
Troy had some high interception years, but the only thing I'll say is like with Troy, if you stick him in this era, he throws the ball more, which means more touchdowns 100%. And more interceptions.
Yeah.
So like he would be in the Troy Aikman category, I want to say. But the difference between him and Troy Aikman is Troy Aikman was able to win every year, not just yes. win championships,
not win, win because of niggas
win
around.
Divisions. Yeah. He was able to establish himself as one of the better quarterbacks, you know, of his time.
Did he get one of them Super Bowl MVPs out of them 3 years? I think he got one.
I want to say he got one because Emmett got the second one. Second I know. One.
And I think the third one was like a defensive player.
The third one was a defensive player. So if he was going to win one, he did win one.
And he won 92? Okay.
Yeah. He has a Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, that was the reason he was able to stand out because he's winning year in, year out, winning divisions, getting his team to the postseason every year. Stafford wasn't able to do that until he got to LA. Now, part of that is because he's playing in Detroit, and Detroit's a very unserious football organization. Yeah. Part of that is because he's in the same division as Aaron Rodgers. But, like, I guess to me, where it kind of hurts him is like, has Matthew Stafford ever been a top 10 quarterback?
I think he has. I always thought he was 9 or 10. You know, you can sell me on 9 or 10, but he was never past 9.
And that's where, because that's the thing. If we talk about top 10 quarterbacks, if you're 9 and 10, you're the barely in category.
And yeah, we talked about this on summer sessions
and you got to be very special if you're in that barely in category for me to think you're a Hall of Famer.
No, I agree. That special. When we said on summer sessions yesterday, J.R. Bain brought up a great point. It's like when Deion said, "Are they let everybody in the Hall of Fame now?" He said, "But see, just because you're in the Hall of Fame don't mean you're on the top floor." He said, "I'm in a penthouse suite." So we were talking about like how if they had to like break up bust by like how close you are from getting entrance. My brother was like, "Yeah, so you know, if Matthew Stafford get in, he'll be the first nigga you see when you walk in the Hall of Fame." Mm-hmm. It's gonna be kind of like the United Center. You see Scottie Pippen bust as soon as you get outside of the metal detectors. Like, it's going to be some shit like that.
It's the barbershop, man. You see the first one you say, don't get that cut.
Exactly. The first chair open. Don't get that cut. That's what it would be if Stafford got in.
100%, man. But congratulations to him here on that Super Bowl.
Congratulations to him, man. I'm like I said, I never had anything personal against Matthew Stafford. I mean, Bears would kick the shit out of the Lions, so he never did nothing to me personally. But it's I like to see people who were in shitty situations get out of shitty situations, and to see him
Odell,
I'm so
going
Odell,
and leaving Cleveland. I'm hurt I'm for so you because you weren't able to truly play in that game, and make the impact late. And it's the second
it'd been a
ACL
blowout
tear.
If Odell ain't getting hurt.
I don't want to say all
that. He was getting active, bro.
He was getting active, but I don't want to say all that. I think it still would have been a pretty close game, maybe a 7-pointer, but definitely not a blowout. But yeah, Odell going to LA, picking the perfect spot for him, betting on himself after Cleveland had just drug his name through the mud for no fucking reason. Like, that whole city needs to apologize to him. Whole city needs to fucking apologize to him.
I would have had Miles Garrett on Inside the NBA yesterday because they're in Cleveland for All-Star. And then Ernie asked him, "So what do you need to do to be in the Super Bowl next year?" Everybody paused. I'm in my living room like, "Nigga, get rid of Baker fucking Mayfield." It's number one.
You know, and Chops had retweeted it, but I did it on the Madden franchise I'm currently doing. I think there's a way to get out from Baker Mayfield and then improve the team.
With who?
Because Kirk Cousins was the original throwout.
Is
and
Cousins
that's a,
really an
that's,
upgrade?
That's not an upgrade. That's at best a lateral move, just adding another high-priced option. If you're going to get out from Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan would be a very capable leader to come right into Cleveland. And have that established value as both a winner, a leader, a capable quarterback. He's not the Matt. Guys went to Super Bowl. He's not the Matt Ryan from 4 or 5 years ago that was MVP.
Still solid.
But he was still solid these last couple of years when they were not good, throwing to not good receivers.
I like that.
If you could find a way to work out some deal with Baker and Matt Ryan, because then Baker just gets a new start in a new city. I don't think Atlanta is going to be as vicious with him as Cleveland
they
is.
They don't give a fuck about the Falcons down there.
And they just, they, you know, if the Falcons are mid for a couple years, as long as Baker's improving, you know, it's not going to matter. So it gives them an opportunity to reset without having to be scrutinized all the damn time.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that would be a perfect 1v1, even not 1v1, because I think you got to throw some picks in whichever way. You know, or, you know, Cleveland's got to eat up some of that Matt Ryan money, but that's a perfect trade where, you know, both quarterbacks enter new situations, and then Matt Ryan has an opportunity to win in a division that's good. But for the Browns, I think that division is still very winnable.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. There's nothing about the AFC North that screams Cincinnati's going to own this fucking division.
Browns can be really good next year. Yeah, I think one of the very few reasons the Browns were trash this year is fucking their quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give Baker a little bit then. This is my little small life raft I'm going to give this nigga. He was very, very fucking injured. I'll give him that little small caveat. But besides that, yes, you are correct. Most of the problems are on this motherfucker, Baker Mayfield. And the AFC North is not a division I feel is going to be like, as great as the Bengals are, as great as the season they had, it's not a season. Oh, they got division. They got that division on lock.
Bengals got some tooling to do. They got to get their own line right. Steelers are good, but they got to get their quarterback.
Yeah.
Baltimore has to get a top flight receiver.
And they need to keep Lamar healthy.
Yeah. I feel like the defense might regress there too.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, but they still, like, the Browns can easily win that. When, if you put Matt Ryan on the Browns, whatever changes happens. Where do you put Matt Ryan in terms of the best quarterbacks in that division?
He would probably be third. Because we don't know who the fuck's going to be in Pittsburgh. Number one is obviously Burrow, in my opinion. Then it'll be Lamar. And then it will be Matt Ryan.
I feel like you can make an argument for, and I know this is Black History Month. We got 12
okay,
months.
Okay, so. Now you know for a fact, I agree with Matt Ryan being a better passer than Lamar Jackson. I don't
right.
Even think that's
if we're talking about at their top,
I'm talking about
when
I talk about Lamar, I'm including the total package as far as him being a game changing.
But if we're talking about throwing,
I'm with you.
And fair, that's completely fair, but I don't know, that offense is something smelly with that fucking offense. If they can't get that top receiver,
Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator?
Very much so. But, like, if they can't get that top receiver, I'm very skeptical of them. If Matt Ryan's playing at an elite level, if we get Matt Ryan back to playing some fucking football, which he ain't been doing in a while because Atlanta ain't been good.
He ain't got no motivation.
It's an argument that he could be number two.
Matt Ryan is, how old is this nigga?
He'll be
37 this year. He'll be 37 by the time the season starts.
Yeah. I think that would be a great position for him to win a football.
I actually like that. I never heard that option before. I saw Chops was begging for Kirk Cousins and Jimmy G, and I was like, brother, this should never get to this.
Yeah, nah, you might as well just down that Baker Mayfield.
Down that Baker Hill, dog. If you won't go Cousins or Jimmy G, down that Baker Hill.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, it's God. I've been telling people for a while, don't trust that head coach in Cincinnati.
They're not
winning because of that head coach.
They've been
Cincinnati.
Winning in spite of this nigga. He just got paid.
They're winning because Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow, and he's too good to deny. And you had the smart decision to, even though we were all saying you should probably draft Penei Sewell, you should probably make your line a lot better. They went out and drafted Ja'Marr Chase. Totally respected because he's an unbelievable talent.
Yeah.
But they gotta get the line situated. But you know, beyond that, head coach, some of the plays you were calling really had me wondering. Is
that
this
third,
really?
Down?
Can you really out dumb Sean McVay in the biggest game of the year?
Oh, they treat McVay like he's Bill Walsh in his 30s now. Oh, my God.
I know.
If you hated Sean McVay coverage before, nigga, you ain't seen nothing yet.
When's the last time that a coach in any sport has been sucked up this
Doc
much?
Rivers, Doc
off of winning
Rivers.
one championship.
Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I guess we won't do that to Spo because Spo's a good coach.
Spo got 3 rings, man. What's even third? Though one of them was Pat Riley, so he got 2.
Oh, yeah. Good point. But also, like, he's overshadowed by the big 3. So, like, we didn't really know Spo was as good of a coach until after he left. And, like, oh, my God, no.
This nigga's good.
Right, this nigga's good. Yeah, no, I get you. Doc, it probably
Doc didn't have so much damn talent. Oh, my God.
Doc, you ain't got no excuses, buddy.
Bro, when I saw Doc on the top 10 coaches of all time list, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. There's one of these things is not like the other.
Right. I was like, what the fuck is this? Cat Williams say, yeah, you think that Chrysler a Phantom until a real Phantom pull up. You got this nigga in a list full of Phantoms. We see the difference.
We see the difference.
If Glenn, you don't get man. Done with Joel and Harden, that nigga is beyond under surveillance.
I am rooting for you as a Chicago guy, as a West Side guy. I'm rooting for you, my brother.
Doc is one of
you seem like a cool ass person, dude.
I sat down and talked about Bears football with Doc Rivers for 30 minutes while we waited for our flight. Doc is a cool nigga to me. With that being said, when it comes to coaching, he is not it. That's all I'm saying. Doc, a cool nigga.
I get to watch it up close and personal. That Sixer song is so annoyingly catchy.
What is the Sixer song?
It's made in the 70s, so it has a very 70s feel to songs. It. Nah. It's like it feels like a 70s song.
Okay.
It feels like a No, not necessarily disco, but you know, like Partridge Family, Brady Bunchish.
So they play it after the games?
They play it when they win.
Okay. The nigga, like I would the Lakers just play I Love LA. The Clippers play fucking California Love. It's like nigga, be original.
I've been telling somebody that you know about like it was the two coolest things. Growing up with the Bulls is it put me on to two songs in specific. One being Hit the Road Jack.
Yeah.
I always pop when they would play Hit the Road, when somebody would foul out and they play Hit the Road Jack by James Brown. And the second at the end when they win, they play another one Bites the Dust.
Dude.
And that bass line is just—it's just so hard.
I love like, that shit.
It's one of the hardest bass lines you've ever heard.
And then they play Sweet Home Chicago as you leaving the damn seats and shit. I like that.
Or even when the championship happens and they're playing We Are the Champions, like all that shit's very cool. And then yeah, so it's always funny when you go to other places. They play I Love LA when the Dodgers win, and I think that's cool too. The Yankees got the ultimate. Because you play New York, New York.
Oh yeah,
start spreading. It's as soon as that win happens. Dun, 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 dun.
You can already hear that. You can see Frank Sinatra when you hear that.
God, I'm so pissed I can't go to Yankee Stadium.
Why can't you go to Yankee
Fucking
Stadium?
Fucking Rob Manfred, that's why.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, eventually, hopefully.
Hopefully. Maybe in August. Sometime soon. Yeah. But I've been Cincinnati. I've been telling you about your head coach, Cincinnati. Yeah. I've been telling you about that man. Get my chance. Yeah. Move on.
You've been on it since he got hired.
Listen, some of the play calls, especially that third down. What the fuck are you doing? Last minute of the Super Bowl, 3rd and 3, and you run the ball with Joe Mixon. Any other time in the game, if you want to run the ball, if you wanted to run the ball with Joe Mixon in the fourth quarter when you had that 4-point lead, in order to waste clock, so you don't have the Rams come back down and score on that last drive, or they have a little time to do it, that's the time you run with Joe Mixon. But you weren't running with Joe Mixon. You were trying to get Joe Burrow out so you can make plays. And it didn't fucking work. Now here you are, final minute of the game. It's 3rd down and short. All you need to do is get in the field goal range so your kicker, who was cool enough to sit on the fucking sidelines for that awesome halftime show, can get in the field goal range and make that kick. Nah, just going to run a draw play.
Yeah. Stupid shit.
Stupid shit. You out-stupid Sean McVay on the biggest game of the year. Congratulations. You almost fooled everybody, Sean McVay, Zach Taylor.
He got him a nice fat paycheck.
And nice little extension to continue letting the city of Cincinnati. And it's one thing I realized, like, during the Super Bowl run, like, I kind of like Bengals fans.
Like, yeah, you know, for the Bengal fans that I have run into, give a shout out to my homies, John and Dottie on the number one Bengals podcast, had them on my show week before the Super Bowl. They're cool people. They're cool people. And even the way I've seen them react to this loss, I still wouldn't have tweeted if Twitter was around when the Bears lost.
I think they had.
They're taking it pretty gracefully.
They had their night and they're getting over it very graciously. But I just realized, man, like the way Bengals fans are just like excited, thrilled to be here after 30 some years, you know, all the futility. We're back. We got Joe Burrow, the quarterback. We're going to LA, which that was a pro Bengal crowd in SoFi on Sunday. Bengals fans filled that shit up. It was something about it. It was just like, you know, if the Bengals won a Super Bowl, I'd be very happy for the city of Cincinnati. I'd be very happy for Bengal fans. You know, you're finally on our stage of Super Bowl champions. It would have been pretty cool. Fortunately, you got to deal with Zach Taylor as your head coach for a couple more years at least, until Joe Burrow is like, nah, man, you got to get rid of this joker. He's trash. He's fucking trash.
He's terrible.
He's fucking terrible.
We're really gonna see what type of good coach he is next year when the pressure's on them niggas.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody gonna be gunning for him. You've won the division already. You're playing a first place schedule. You know, you're gonna have to face the Chiefs again. I don't know if you're going to or they're coming there, but you got to face the Chiefs again.
Speaking of Chiefs, is our City Girls prediction speeding up?
I think so, man. I think it's on a good trajectory.
And he's been tweeting about it, which means he knowing that there might be some traction. Remember last year he tweeted
some kicks and armor.
Yeah, yesterday he tweeted, "Ignore them, babe. I love you." And then today he tweeted, "Y'all make up anything. Cry emoji, cry emoji." I'm like, yeah, okay, nigga.
All right, man.
Brother, type in caps if you need help.
Listen, bro.
Out of there.
He gonna get you out of there. Listen, we can read body language very well. That was not looking like a very happy home
right,
the other exactly. day. And yeah, you know, he's following the formula well. Okay. Second year starter win his first championship. He's riding high, popular as ever, gets right back to Super Bowl the next year, tries to repeat, devastating loss. Has his playoff woes, his struggles. Now all he has to do is go find his hot celebrity black wife.
Yes, and we're still sticking with JT, right?
I'm still sticking with JT, although I do think there's a possibility.
I'm going to hit you with the underrated challenge.
What you got?
Normani.
Yeah, if we're talking about dark skin, I think Normani would be up there.
Or Normani.
I was trying to find somebody. I was trying to find some light skins, but I can't really think of a lot of them.
Let me think of a light skin one. Who's new in the light skin delegation that we could present him with?
It's not going to be Keilani. He doesn't want the Keilani type.
Yeah, no, nah, she'll probably steal from him. She's from Oakland.
That's facts.
And we saw.
I could see him getting with Shay Mitchell, the actress.
Okay, what has she done?
She was in You. She was in the first season of You. Okay, that's the only thing I've seen her in.
Okay.
You
know, if she wasn't taken by Spider-Man, I could see him was in there.
Eh.
I could see. It's safe. It's black, but it's still white.
It is.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, he's not fully white.
He's not fully putting his feet in the water. He got like one foot in. You know what I'm saying? I could see that if she wasn't with Peter Parker.
Yeah, okay. That's
and that and she matches his star status a little bit.
That's a fair one. Nah, he probably corny enough to go get Shorty who sung the national anthem. Mickey Guyton is her name.
Oh, you know what? That's a nice one. She does country music.
Exactly.
That's a nice one.
You're black country singer, so she easily can to fit around your friends and her girlfriend. We need to play Love Is Blind,
Patrick Mahomes edition. Let me and Pierce be the host.
That'd be great, actually.
Let us be the host.
I'm completely down.
Can you imagine us starting it? We finna bring the nigga out of you. Love Is Blind, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh man. Back to the Rams. Aaron Donald solidified as the greatest defensive player of this era. I don't think it's
that's not even a conversation.
Yeah, I don't think it's close when talking about just how and coming from a position to like defensive tackle, like usually you would think corner, somebody who's making a lot of plays on the ball, getting a lot of picks, forced fumbles, edge rusher, getting to the quarterback a lot. Aaron Donald's doing that at defensive tackle and just being a plug in the middle of that hole, in the middle of the line. It's crazy what he's been able to do. So what I'm about to say, I'm not taking away credit from everything that Aaron Donald has done in his career. He was, to me, the reason that they won that football game. The way that he was able to keep that line in check in the fourth quarter. Those last drives that the Bengals had, making sure that they don't get they aren't able to convert. He was phenomenal. Him and Vaughn. Vaughn felt like he was back up the road in the Bay Area where he won his first chip. So, you know, but I think the media has done a fair share of capping on Aaron Donald, even in the lead up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I've never heard this man's name in the same sentence as Lawrence fucking Taylor until about a week ago.
Man, it's like with LT, you know who gets really upset when you compare anybody else? Bill Belichick gets hot.
If Bill Belichick gets pissed off when you compare somebody to Lawrence Taylor, guess what? Bill Belichick's right.
Yeah.
If anybody knows football, it's Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick.
And I don't think this is disrespectful to AD. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, no. The real AD, not that fraud that plays on Figueroa. But I think it's not disrespectful to him because it's like...
Come on, man. He hurt.
Hey, man. Look, I hope he gets better. Like Charles Barkley said, he's motherfucking street clothes. You know? Yeah. Yeah. AD stands for availability. Determined. Ability determined. So anyway, like I was saying, when it comes to Aaron Donald, it's not disrespectful to him by saying, "Oh, you don't touch." Like, there's a lot of great players in the history of the NFL. I don't even know if you could put him in top 10, like right now. I don't know. I had to see a list. He damn sure not my five. Like, he's not in my
I actually came up, and this was pre-game.
Okay,
I came up with a list of guys who I think all have legitimate shots at being somewhere within the top 10. Lawrence Taylor, Deacon Jones, Deion, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Reggie White, Mean Joe Green, Ronnie Lott, Mel Blount, Dick Butkus, Junior Seau, Bruce Smith.
You said Deion, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not mad at that list.
I think he's somewhere close to that. Somebody also threw out John Randall, and I think that's a very...
I'm not mad at John.
I would not be mad at you throwing John Randall out there, because John Randall sneakily was great for a very long time. Like, Aaron Donald's in that conversation, but if we just automatically shooting him up to 1B.
You know what I think of when I think of John Randall?
As NFL Extreme?
Besides that.
The commercial that he did?
No, the one where it's like this scene I saw, like a America's Game for the 2002 Bucks, and Keyshawn was getting into it with somebody. And they was like doing like a joint practice. He said, "Man, shut your ass up. You a fake ass John Randall." That's all. Every time I say
it was a lot of fake ass John Randalls back in that day. John Randall. Albert Hainsworth.
Oh my God.
That's a fake ass John Randall right there. Like, I thought Vince Wilfork was going to be a fake ass John Randall, but Vince Wilfork ended up having a really good career. So, maybe Eddie Goldman might be one. Yeah, but yeah, no shade to Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's fucking phenomenal. But I think
he's top five in this position.
Yeah, I just think if we're gonna just throw out every single defensive player of all time, we gotta ease up on that. That's a little bit too much. Where are we going? Sorry, I gotta run back the rundown. I kind of closed it down. So Rams got a lot of uncertainty for next year. Odell is obviously a free agent, but he has the knee injury. Von Miller is an upcoming free agent. They got a couple other guys who are hitting free agency as well. Will the Rams run it back? Can the Rams run it back?
That's a lot of question marks.
We don't know about Von. Von's kind of angling.
Yeah.
Get that new contract because TJ Watt got his. And
I mean,
look, get your money, Von, player.
If Von thinks he's getting a TJ Watt contract, then I want to be his fucking.
You don't think he can get that age. Money?
TJ Watt? Von Miller? Not this stage of his career. No.
At 31, it's going to be hard. But if, yeah, anybody,
if he gets TJ Watt money, his agent is a god if he gets TJ Watt money.
I feel like if anybody can get that money, it's Aaron Donald. Who is
Aaron? Yeah, Aaron Donald's the only nigga who can ask for TJ Watt money.
Who is like, Aaron Donald's agent?
But as far as like I was saying about the Rams, I mean, they got a lot of free agents. You got Von, Odell is gonna be a situation. And you know, you get these two big rumors floating around. We don't know if Sean McVay is gonna be here or doing either Monday Night Football.
He's coming back.
Or if Jeff Bezos gives him a blank check for that Thursday show they're going to be doing. And then, you know, but one thing I'm really concerned about, Aaron Donald. Like, honestly, I don't know if anybody watched the parade, but when drunk Sean McVay took the mic from the MC, which is funny. Sean McVay
started saying run it back.
He tried to get that mic from the MC like three times. He was not trying to get that shit to Sean McVay. Sean McVay took the mic. He was like, run it back. And so, like, Aaron Donald paused like 30 seconds, did not say anything, and they kept saying it loud, like, yeah, you know, if anybody comes back, we can run it back. I think there's a huge question mark by him actually coming back. I'm with you with McVay. I probably think he still comes back. But with Aaron Donald, that's a huge question mark. So if they're able to bring the guys back, and if they do bring Odell, he's probably not going to be back till Thanksgiving at the earliest. I mean, they have a chance. The NFC is kind of like, NFC is like a clear path to the Super Bowl damn near right now, especially for them. We don't know where Aaron Rodgers is going. And by the way, like I've always said about Rodgers, I hope he leaves. I would love nothing more from the league. But Aaron Rodgers would be a fucking idiot to leave the NFC right now. He would be a fucking idiot to leave our division. Mm-hmm. That is the most easy path to get to the Super Bowl. You do not want smoke with them young niggas in the AFC.
If you're an NFC team, you have to be doing whatever you can to get Aaron Rodgers. That's,
yeah, exactly.
That's Tampa included, because I can understand if you're an AFC North team or an AFC South team, if you want to try your luck, hell, even if you're the Dolphins, because the only worry you have there is Josh Allen and Mac Jones. The Broncos are cool and all, but you're gonna be having to deal with Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and for right now, Derek Carr. That's a murderer's row of quarterbacks. Stay your ass. I don't want you to stay your ass where you are. I want you to fucking leave and get off my life and stop torturing me. But, you know, if you're being football smart, you'd be a clown. Football
smart, you'd be a fucking idiot to leave the NFC.
You'd be a clown. You'd be a clown to leave this division, man. You got to deal with Justin Fields, who we think Justin Fields is going to be great. But there's work that you need to
be done.
In order for him to reach that greatness.
I don't know if you heard Rich Eisen say that there's different tiers of quarterback. There's we need our guy. There's I hope he's the guy. There's I think he's the guy. Then there's we got our guy. The Bears are.
I was watching, but I don't remember where he placed Fields.
He placed Fields with that was different. They did. They had because he was naming quarterback carousel and he had different ones like he had Justin in the stick to the plan list, which I have no problem with. This the issue I had a problem with, he had Trevor Lawrence in the they're good for a couple years list. And I was like, there's no way after
you
just
saw Trevor Lawrence last year and you're 100% sure that he's
there's
gonna
just no way. I think both are gonna be great, but I'm way more confident in what I saw in Justin this year than what I saw in Trevor.
And really, I think both quarterbacks deserve that pass because they had inept head coaches trying to lead them on. So if we're giving Trevor Lawrence the grace of having Urban Meyer shit the bed in his first year with him, you know, we obviously have to do the same with Justin Fields and Matt Nagy. So they both should be in the stick to the plan. But I think it's more obvious that the Jaguars are sticking to the plan because he's the number one pick.
Yes.
There's a little bit of, like, national folk are probably still a little bit concerned of, okay, in a year from now, if Justin's not playing well, where are you with it? Because it's a entirely brand new regime. Man, at least they still have Balkan down there. They're not moving. I don't see them moving, but I can understand where the trepidation is with that.
I have no problem. I have, look, I am not mad at any question mark revolving around Justin Fields at all. I'm just saying, if you, the question marks you got for Justin, you better have just as many for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and Zach Wilson too. Saying. I don't think Zach Wilson was perfect either last year.
I don't know.
He missed a lot of games, but
yeah. I don't even look at Zach. I put Zach Wilson in the Trey Lance category. We'll see, nigga. Like, yeah. I don't really have any faith we'll in either nigga. One. We'll see, nigga. I'll put them in that pile.
That's crazy. The last one picked, we feel like is for sure going to be at least a serviceable quarterback.
Right.
Right. Let's analyze where Cincinnati's long-term future is at. Because they got the quarterback. We know they got the quarterback.
That's 90% of the problem. 90% of the thing you need, yeah.
Exactly. They figured that out. Ja'Marr Chase is on a rookie deal, so he's at least going to be locked in for another 4 years. I want to say Boyd either just got a new deal or is in line for a new deal.
When is T. Higgins' contract up?
T. Higgins was in the second year, so he's got two more years. He was a second-round pick, so he's got two more years, and then he's a free agent. They got a lot of cap space. A lot of cap space to work with, try to improve that defense. They got Jesse Bates, who's a safety. It's going to be a free agency, but even if he's not re-signed, they're going to tag him. He's going to be back. So I'm not expecting a lot of turnover with Cincinnati, but they are very much in line to still improve the club and get even better for next season. Right. I think overall, especially in free agency, the one thing that you need to do is go find yourself a left tackle.
Yes.
Go find yourself some linemen that can keep Joe Burrow up. They're going to be in with us for Teron Armstead, I feel like. The top left tackle from the Saints. I would love him protecting Justin Fields' blind side, but, you know, completely understand if he wants to go to Cincinnati and go do that. But, you know, analyzing their long-term future as a club, the guys they have under contract, the division that they have, that they're in. Where do you see Cincinnati?
Well, I definitely think they should be the favorite coming out of the division next year. I mean, like you said, 90% of having a contending team, making sure your quarterback is the one. I don't think there's any question about Joe Burrow not being the one, because I mean, he played well in the Super Bowl to me. I don't think Joe Burrow had a bad game. I thought he played pretty solid. He just couldn't stay upright because he got sacked 7 fucking times. So to me, every issue they need to fix is on the offensive line. Of course, they can add some more DBs. Obviously, you can't have Eli Apple back there again. But but the main focus is keeping this nigga healthy. So you have to build the offensive line. You do not want an Andrew Luck situation where Andrew Luck was getting pile-drived into the fucking ground every year of his career to the point he called it a career early. You don't want that same situation if you're Cincinnati. So they have – the hard part is done for them. Now you keep your guy that you have, keep him protected. He got sacked over 70 times this year. 70. That's fucking ridiculous. So besides that, have that tool up on the defense. I think they got a good shot. I don't know if they got a good shot to win the AFC again, but they got a good shot to win their division, because I still think the AFC is going to go through Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen for the foreseeable future. Now, maybe when the Chargers learn how to close fucking games, we can put Justin Herbert in that conversation. But until then, to me, it's a two-man race in the AFC. But I think the Bengals should be fine long-term.
The Bengals absolutely should be fine long-term. And I think what could even maximize that if they find a really good running back in the draft.
Yeah, you don't like Joe Mixon?
I know, I love Joe Mixon. And that's why I think they need to find a really good running back in the draft. Joe Mixon was the only reason the Bengals are even kind of staying afloat, you know, head above water for a lot of them years. And he's got himself a nice little contract. He's dynamic as hell. And, you know, I've always loved Joe Mixon. And now, if, you know, people are going to see why Joe Mixon is, you know, in that top near upper echelon tier running backs. Go get that second running back that you can spell him for on drives, and then just continue to keep the ball moving. So you're keeping years on Joe Mixon. That's going to be one of your focal points of your offense. Yeah. For if this is going to be a run for the Bengals, protect Joe Mixon, protect the guy that's been there, protect the guy that probably has the most mileage of anyone on the team. That to me would be big. But yeah, no, fixing the line. I definitely think they could be around because they're not in a particularly tough division. Like, Burrow and Lamar could be a battle we have for years, but I think nobody would question who's better between the two. Even though Burrow doesn't have the MVP, MVP might be coming for Burrow somewhere down the line. He's that damn good. And he's really fucking likable.
How do you feel about people who say it's disrespectful to not bring up Lamar when you talk about the new crop of quarterbacks in the AFC? I don't think it's that disrespectful, but y'all know how
I feel. I think it is because he's won an MVP. So I think he's earned the right to belong now.
Fair, but I'm going to get my Bill Polian back. When I think about quarterback, I think of niggas who can throw the football. I do not think he can throw the football.
Okay, but granted, Mike Vick knew how to throw the football, so we're not going to do that one.
I mean, Michael Vick looked like damn Elway throwing the football compared to what Lamar looks like throwing the football.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the MVP, so I just think it's disrespectful to not throw him in that crop, okay. That new crop of young guys.
Okay. We're going to give him the Matthew Stafford treatment with Hall of Fame. When you get into the real nigga circle, he the first nigga announced in the Elimination Chamber.
Dust.
He's the first nigga announced in the Elimination Chamber.
Still Black History Month, man. Literally, we're not even.
Hey, man, this has been one of the worst Black History Months of all time, man. There's nothing, my comment ain't going to change that.
Oh, man. Give me one bold prediction for the upcoming 2022 season. We're a long ways away.
Okay.
By the way, while you think about that, I want to do this. I'm going to already predict the opening night for
I got a prediction for opening night, too.
I think opening night is going to be the Los Angeles Rams hosting the Buffalo Bills.
I was gonna go
to Dallas Cowboys. But
they're not gonna do them back to back years.
I can understand doing the Cowboys in Tampa. Tampa, because Tom Brady is still gonna have the fans to counteract the Dallas Cowboys. That's gonna be a very pro Dallas Cowboy crowd. On banner night.
You don't want them to be out for banner night. And also, I think Rich Eisen brought this up. You don't want to have the Cowboys start off against a champion for the second year in a row. That might not be a good start for them. Because he had like the list of opponents they got, and they don't like doing division games as an opener, so that eliminates.
Yeah, give them the Giants.
You know,
they used to do the Cowboys and Giants every fucking year.
Every fucking year. Every Sunday Night Football. Oh yeah.
Not sometimes it wouldn't be Sunday Night Football. It would be the primetime game on Fox. The late window on Fox. It was just like, yeah, you know, that's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Cowboys and the.
I'm with you though.
The Giants.
Stafford Allen, Week One.
Stafford and Allen at SoFi, pretty big at SoFi. Josh Allen is a superstar.
I can hear the NBC music now. The champions get the ring, and here comes Josh Allen. That'd be a great game. But my bold prediction for 2022 is going to be Justin Fields is going to throw for 30 touchdowns next year. He's going to get the franchise record next year.
I can't believe we've never thrown 30 touchdowns in a season. That
says everything you need to know about. Sorry, this franchise
is such a low bar.
So that's my early prediction. I even know who the fuck he's going to be throwing to.
My early prediction for the 2022 season is that we will have a new champion of the NFC East. Yeah, I know. It's always a new champion of the NFC East every single year. But this new NFC East champion will reside in Philadelphia. It'll be the Philadelphia Eagles. And their new quarterback.
Who's the new
Russell Wilson?
Oh, okay. There's a surprise.
As the 2022 NFC East champions. That's my bold prediction for 2022.
That is very bold.
I think it would be wild for Howie to have all three of these picks and then not make a play for a top-tier quarterback.
I hope so. Like I said, when we said about Pat earlier, we're going to get you out of there. I'm tired of my boy Russ setting Mirage Goodell in the press box every Super Bowl.
And if you're going to move for that quarterback, you want to do it now while you can still sell Jalen. Because you don't want to have Jalen have a bad season next year. And there's no way that you can trade him with 1 year left on that contract. And he's clearly a backup at that point. He's at least a project still. So if you're gonna move him, go get Russ now, man.
It would
be asinine for them not to. And I think I think at the end of the day they will.
It's good to talk football to you. I wish we could talk baseball, but
fuck, Rob,
that's
man.
Gonna be it's gonna
one
be a
of the biggest
bit down
threats
the road.
To American security.
Yeah, man.
Well, let's make let's make a prediction of when you think opening day will be. We'll just make a prediction.
April 25th.
So you have faith that it will still be in April?
I think someone will panic. Either the players, unfortunately, or the owners. I think somebody will panic.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take the other extreme. I'm going to say Memorial Day weekend.
That's at least a fair one. It's not like you're saying, oh, yeah, we won't get going.
See you niggas after the NBA Finals.
Yeah, you know, like I don't think we'll wait that long. Mid May, I think, is a you know somewhere kind of like
in the realm between Mother's Day and Memorial Day weekend,
right?
Somewhere in that little area.
That's also a little bit sensible. I just feel like it's gonna come down to once someone starts losing money, whether it's the players or the owners.
Yeah.
Someone's going to panic, and then we're going to see some shit kind of.
Nine times out of ten, it will probably be the players who are going to fold.
Exactly. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know.
The mortgages don't pay themselves.
Right. We will try to do some 40-40 club content until we can get some baseball.
And I also, when baseball does come back, the He Gone podcast will be a trio. It'll be me, Dante, the homie Mikey, and we can all yell about Jerry Reinsdorf not spending any money. So I'm looking forward to talking about White Sox baseball with my guys when the season comes back.
Yeah, I need more content, so that's going to be great. Thank you guys for joining us on this wonderful football season, this
all
great
season.
Ride of 2021.
We did not abandon you, unlike my brother. Who abandoned y'all.
Coming back to the special guest appearance. Joe is like you know the dude who's on the first two seasons of the show.
And he becomes
and then
a recurring
character. You go to college, become a recurring character, you come back for them special guest appearances.
Exactly. And that's exactly what he is, man. That's 100%. Like after the Bears season over, that nigga clocks out podcast wise. Unless it's summer sessions. That's the only thing he'll do.
No,
that's man. The only thing. But anyway, man, it was a great season. Great talking football. And how did y'all niggas?
At Cameron Santo on Twitter, at Barbershare Scott, at BarbershareNet, on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/BarbershareDigital, Patreon.com/BarbershareNetwork.
Yes, sir.
$10. You'll get special episodes of 7 Night the Hallis.
Well, actually, we have a 7 Night the Hallis package now because me and my brother are doing new content, off-season content, starting next week. 7 Night the Hallis presents. 7 Night the Hallis presents where we're going to be watching and reacting to classic Bears games. Started next week. We're going to start with the 2006 season, so you might want to sign with that. And also, my brother's got like a Baldies breakdown type series he's going to be doing with the Bears, so look out for that $5 package.
Baldies breakdown. Oh, got Telestrator out. Yeah, yeah. All 22s. Huh?
That type of shit.
Yeah, nice. Nice. Thanks, guys, for joining us. We appreciate you so much. This has been the final episode of 2 Minute Drill for this season. We'll be back with more episodes next season. We'll try to do more episodes of 40-40 Club coming up soon, but yeah, just be patient as things kind of unfold.
It's coming soon.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you guys later.
Yes, sir.